Dr. Michael Youssef.
The Bible teaches that Jesus came the first time to inaugurate his kingdom, but he is coming a second time in order to consummate the kingdom. And all of Christian believers, every Christian believer, should be looking forward to that day. In fact, that hope gives us reason to even wake up in the morning. That hope, it motivates us to love the unlovable, to love the lost. That hope comforts us to comfort the hurting. That hope is the one that causes us to tell our neighbors and plead with them that Jesus and Jesus alone can save them from eternal judgment. From our work to our studies to our social activities, that we do all of that for the glory of God and with the anticipation of the day that's going to come. And that's what the end times should motivate us to do.
Thank you for joining us for Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. When we think about it for just a moment, we've had a number of hurricanes. We've had some earthquakes around the world, other natural events, and it seems like they're occurring quite often. How about men and women being deceived, turning from the truth, not to mention wars and rumors of potential uprisings? We live in a unique time, but until the day of Jesus' return, God calls us to be diligent in our work, diligent in the work for the kingdom. Today, a passionate message from Dr. Youssef called Working While You're Waiting, a message that will encourage you to put your hand to the plow now and in the coming year with greater intensity than ever before. Here is Dr. Michael Youssef.
Human nature, the way it is, we are curious about the future. There are some, of course, more curious than others. But we all want to know what's around the corner. We all want to know what's going to happen. We all want to know what the future holds. I think that's natural for our desires for the future of our children, our own future, and future of the world. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, that has been the case throughout history. In fact, if you look at societies, whether they're believing societies or pagan societies, they've always had their sorcerers. They've always had their fortune tellers. They've always had the mediums. Why? Because simply they want to know the future. And in reality, those sorcerers and fortune tellers are basically deceitful and demonic. And they really don't know the future. Fortune telling and the medium is about a $1 billion-plus business throughout the Western world. But even among Christians, they want to know what's around the corner. There are whole ministries that is dedicated to nothing else but trying to discern the signs of the time. They talk about nothing else except the signs of the end times. There are Christians who are so hooked on all the details of and so focused on all what's going to happen and who's what and who's where, and they take the headline news and they interpret the scripture through the headline news. They do nothing for the kingdom of God. They do nothing to reach the lost, to bring them to Christ, and they do nothing to impact society for God, which is contrary to what Jesus taught. He said, "Occupy till I come." He said, "Work diligently till I come." He says, "Serve faithfully till I come." Not get so fixated on these signs and do nothing for me and my kingdom. He didn't say that. But the truth is, the Bible teaches that there is an end to world history. That is the truth. Hear me right on this one. The Bible teaches that there is an end to the world as we know it. The Bible teaches that Jesus is coming back with great power and great glory when we hear the trumpet sound, and then the believers will be taken into heaven where they will reign and rule with Christ. The Bible teaches that Jesus came the first time to inaugurate his kingdom, but he is coming a second time in order to consummate the kingdom. And all of Christian believers, every Christian believer, should be looking forward to that day. Every Christian believer ought to look forward to that day. In fact, that hope gives us reason to even wake up in the morning. That hope, it motivates us to love the unlovable, to love the lost. That hope comforts us to comfort the hurting. That hope gives us desire to expand the rule of Christ in the hearts of our neighbors and co-workers and friends and schoolmates. That hope is the one that causes us to tell our neighbors and plead with them that Jesus and Jesus alone can save them from eternal judgment. To be busy working for God, not being busybodies. From our work to our studies to our social activities, that we do all of that for the glory of God and with the anticipation of the day that's going to come. And that's what the end times should motivate us to do. Matthew 24. The disciples were asking Jesus the question, what are the signs of the nearness of the return of Christ? They were saying to him, what are the signs of your returning? Now you must remember that the disciples were thinking that it is going to be a matter of days, maybe weeks, before Christ is going to manifest his glory. That's what they were thinking. You see, they saw his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. They saw him cleansing the temple. They saw him rebuking the religious leaders. And they heard his description of how of the destruction of the temple that was coming. And it did come in 70 AD, just as Jesus said. And so they thought, soon Jesus is going to manifest his glory. So we're saying, when is it? When is it? Do you know that was before the resurrection? But do you know that after the resurrection, they asked the same thing in Acts chapter 1. He said, when is it? You're not the only one who's curious about when is it. And Jesus' answer to the question is so powerful, is so strong, that I prayed all week for the power of the Holy Spirit to give us discernment, to understand the words of the Lord Jesus. Probably verse 8 is the key verse in this passage. Because Jesus was saying that the sign of the nearness of his return is like birth pain. Birth pain. Now, those of you who have been through the birth pain understand this far better than the rest of us. We know it only in theory. We know there's no pain in conception. We know there's no pain in pregnancy. Pregnancy is normal. But listen, here's what Jesus is saying. He said, just before the birth of the baby, there is a gradual increase in the frequency. There is a gradual increase in the intensity of that pain, of the birth pain. First, the contractions might be every hour. A little while later, maybe every 45 minutes. A little bit later, maybe every 30 minutes. A little bit later, maybe every 15 minutes, and any husband worth the name of being a husband better have his wife in the hospital by that time, if he doesn't fall apart. And as time goes on, the frequency and the intensity of that pain keeps on being on increase. That's what Jesus is saying. That's the key verse, verse 8. Because once it gets into every 5 minutes or every 3 minutes, the contractions, then you know that the birth is imminent. There's a great deal of pain to the mom and experienced by mom. But also there's joy in her heart. There is a joy of anticipation in her heart. There is a joy of excitement in her heart. There is joy of expectations in her heart. And I'm told that sometimes that joy is so intense that sometimes it helps eclipse the severity of the pain, of the birth pain. In the same way, Jesus said, listen carefully. That's what Jesus said. He said, in the same way, the event that will indicate the return of Christ is near. There's going to be an increase in repetition. There's going to be increase in the frequency. There's going to be increase in the intensity. There will be an increase in the pain that it will cause. Oh, he said, but at the same time, the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to be joyful. They're going to be enduring. They're going to be celebrating. They'll be looking and expecting. And thus, labor pain may even get eclipsed because of the joy in their hearts. Why? Because they are full of expectations. They are full of anticipations. They are longing with a desire to see the beloved Lord Jesus. What are these labor pains? Well, if you look at the verses very closely, I summarized them in 5. First, he said, there will be an increase in the subtlety of deception. Look at verses 4 and 5. There's going to be an increase in the subtlety of deception. Secondly, in verses 6 and 7, it said there'll be an increase in the state of international disputes and warfare. Thirdly, Jesus said there is an increase in the substantial cosmic devastation, verses 7 and 8. Fourth, he said there will be an increase in the severity of the deliverance of the believers into persecution, verse 9. And then finally, he said there will be an increase in the scope of defection from the faith. Increase in the scope of the defection from the true faith, verses 10 to 14. Jesus said, as time gets close to the end, he said there will be an increase in the subtlety of deception. See, deception has been with us all the time, been with us since the beginning, since Satan deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. Deception has been in the world. But there's going to be an increase in the subtlety of that deception. So much so that even those who name Christ are going to fall for that deception. The proliferation of false messiahs, the subtlety of those who will try to deceive even the elect will be so intense that some of the believers are going to be deceived. Please hear me out on this. This is very important. I don't say it with lightheartedness. It would have been unthinkable 50 years ago that churches and denomination and church leaders who claim to be Christians and still claim to be Christians deny that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That is the very essence of our faith. That is the very core of our faith. That is the holy grail of the Christian faith. It would have been unthinkable for church folks to deny the fact that Jesus and Jesus alone. And yet, today, millions and millions and millions of churchgoers have fallen in that trap. And that's why in verse 4, look at verse 4, Jesus said, see to it. See to it that no one deceive you. See to it that no one will mislead you. Keep an eye open on false saviors. Keep an eye open on these sweet talkers. Keep an eye open on those who give you false hope. Subtlety of their deception is going to be so powerful, so strong, that they're going to mesmerize and hypnotize those, even some of them called themselves believers in Jesus Christ. That's the warning of Jesus. That's the warning of Jesus. Take it to heart. John tells us in his epistle there are many false Christs. Anybody who try to let you see him or her as hope, as their hope, as your hope, then you know that person is a false Christ. And John said we have many false messiahs, many false Christs, but there's going to be an apex for that subtle deception. It will be embodied in a person who will be so skilled in intrigue and in deception that people will blindly follow him to the slaughter. Others will see him as the expected Messiah, and they'll place their hope in him instead of Christ. Subtlety of deception will be on the increase. Secondly, Jesus said there will be an increase in the number of international disputes. During the 20th century, we had two world wars. And many of you remember there was one war that was the end of all wars. Today, there are more than 70 wars going on in the world today. 70 different wars going on in the world. These wars are like labor pains, Jesus said. They will be on the increase, both in frequency and the intensity. And when Jesus talks about nations and kingdoms, he is saying that everybody is going to be fighting with somebody. That's how bad it's going to be. There will be unparalleled carnage. There will be such terror that will make the heart of strong men melt. And that is why Jesus said, but you should not be afraid. Why? Because God will give his children divine power. He's going to give them divine strength. He's going to give them supernatural power, not to fear, rather be filled with joy and anticipation and expectations in the middle of the pain. Amen. Thirdly, he said, there will be an increase in the substantial destruction. Natural destructions and devastations will become commonplace. The news of natural disaster somewhere in the world will be so common that people literally lose count. Katrina will be like a child's play in comparison to the regular tsunamis and hurricanes and floods and famines and earthquakes that will be taking place one after the other. People will see the world falling apart before their own eyes, but they're helpless to do anything about it. Our world has seen many calamities throughout history, but nearer to the time of the return of Christ, there will be simultaneous occurrence of devastations like nothing ever happened in history. Fourthly, there will be an increase in the severity of deliverance of believers to persecution. We at Leading the Way are privileged to work with some great giants for Christ all over the world, in many parts of the world, where the persecution is common. It's an everyday activity. A person doesn't know if he's going to be arrested in the middle of the night simply because they named the name of Christ. Many Christians are being persecuted in the Islamic world, in Asia, and elsewhere in the world. Please listen carefully. It would have been unthinkable mere 50 years ago what is happening in the West today. In Australia, where two evangelists are fighting for their life simply because somebody said they were offended by their preaching of the gospel. And they've been taken to court for 3.5 years. In Canada, in Vancouver, same thing. In the United States, in the West, all these courts and all these laws are slowly but surely tightening the noose around Christian believers so that they cannot freely proclaim the gospel anymore. Listen to me. As I sense the Holy Spirit to withdraw His hand of protection and His hand of restraint, Satan is being allowed greater freedom, and the saints will suffer like they've never suffered before. We think now that when you name the name of Christ in public place, you can receive ridicule. That ridicule would be considered a walk in the park in comparison to what steady persecution for the believers that is coming. I don't say that lighthearted, I don't say that with joy, but I see it coming. Fifthly, which is the direct result of the fourth one, the scope of defection from the true Christian faith will be on the increase, will be on increase. Today the airwaves are filled with people coming out and saying, well, I left the ministry because I don't believe anymore. I left Christianity, and they've given incredible airtime. There's going to be more and more of those. Why? As persecution becomes more severe, many who call themselves Christians but really don't believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, is the only way to salvation, they're going to join the unbelievers. When they see the cause of following Christ to be so dear, when they see the deception to be so persuading, when they see that sin is too enticing, they will defect from the faith altogether. First, they stay and call themselves Christians, but then as the time goes on, they will come out completely and deny the faith. That's why Jesus said, endurance will be the mark of true Christians. Far from falling into the enticement of deception, true believers will be taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. It's right here, verse 14. They will be giving of their resources and energy and time. They even give their life for the cause of the proclamation of the gospel around the world. Why? Verse 14, Jesus said, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world for the witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Today, the message I preach here today will be proclaimed in 200 countries and territories around the world. It was unthinkable 100 years ago. It would have been unthinkable. It's happening. But the full task of world evangelization is not anywhere near finished yet. And until it does, until we see to it that the gospel is preached to every nation, the gospel is preached to every ethnic group, until we see to it that the gospel is being proclaimed across the street and across the world, then the end will come. And at that moment, in a twinkling of an eye, Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire, and Jesus will split the sky, and the trumpet shall sound, and the history of the world will come to an end. And those who have looked forward to the coming of Christ will be singing the song of victory. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. To God be the glory. I cannot conclude this message without appealing to you. Somebody here may not know the joy of salvation, have not experienced that confidence and trust in the promises of God, regardless of the pain you experience in this life, regardless of what happens, regardless how these birth pains become increased in intensity and in severity, no matter what happens, whether it's terror or earthquakes, no matter what happens, that you will have confidence and joy because you're anticipating the coming of Christ. And if you have never made that commitment to Christ, if you never received His salvation, if you've never received His forgiveness, as we pray, let me urge you that you'll make that commitment right now. Father, You have left Yourself not without a witness. You have given us opportunities to hear and hear and hear again. You are a gracious God. You are a wonderful God. You are a marvelous God. You are full of grace and mercy. You love us so much that You don't want anyone to perish. It's not Your desire for anyone to perish. And I pray in the name of Jesus, anybody at the sound of my voice that have never committed their life to You, never received Your salvation, never accepted Your payment on the cross for them, that they would do so today.
Dr. Michael Youssef, author of the new Leading the Way commentary series, with a plea from his heart for a lost world. In fact, as Dr. Youssef mentioned, Leading the Way is heard throughout the world and now in 21 of the world's most spoken languages. Whether it's through local radio, like the program you're listening to, television, or international satellite broadcast, the mission of Leading the Way is to passionately proclaim uncompromising truth. Now, just recently, we received a note from a young person that really moved us at the home office. I know that you'll be blessed to hear it, as he writes, "I have been listening to your program for a while now. I enjoy your messages about the living God. I understand that we can have eternal life only through Jesus Christ. I've accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. Please pray for my village that may perish if left as it is. I'm trying my best to introduce them to the living Jesus Christ. I covet your prayers very much." Friends, won't you join with us as we pray for this village that he lives in to accept the gift of salvation? Join us in praying for the millions of others who God will direct to hear the sound teaching from our many broadcasts around the world. And if you'd like to partner with this ministry financially, now is an excellent time. You see, some friends of the ministry are offering to match every dollar you give dollar for dollar until midnight on December 31st. So take advantage of the opportunity to double your gift. It's truly an investment in eternity. Learn more when you call us right now at 1-800-337-5323. That's 1-800-337-LEAD. Or when you go online, leadingtheway.org. That's leadingtheway.org. Well, that's about it for today. Do make plans to join us next time right here when Dr. Michael Youssef passionately preaches God's Word.
Now, this is the last week in which you can take advantage of the opportunity that God has presented us with a challenge matching gift. So I'm really looking forward to hearing from you. May you have a blessed year.
Leading the Way is furnished by Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.